He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
What do we want? Nothing! What do we want?
I just told myself, miracles can really happen, you know. I just really cannot believe it. The very most happy moment for me is this announcement.
Legit, there was no opportunity, no hope for us, and all of a sudden, we've got the hope. Like 165,000 applicants with no hope, all of a sudden got hope overnight.
Kia ora, I'm Kadambri Raghukumar. Today on Voices, Immigration and Migrants. Where are we at 1 week after some big news was announced?
It means 70 for those migrants who have been here for the last 3 years and who are eligible.
That's Minister for Immigration Chris Farfoy talking about the 165,000 migrants on work visas who can now be fast-tracked to residency with a one-off visa. It's a release from uncertainty for so many, but a real disappointment for thousands of others. Now, I'm someone that came to New Zealand on a student visa myself about 15 years ago, so I was interested to talk to somebody on both sides.
Look, it's a significant decision, and you don't make these decisions either lightly or quickly. I think the other aspect of this that we wanted to make sure that we get right is that we can actually pull it off and process these applications in a timely manner. There's obviously been a fair degree of frustration about delays in the residency queues.
In June this year, there was a massive rally in Auckland's Queen Street, where nearly 1,500 migrants walked to demand change to policies so that they can be granted residence. Anu Kaloti is a migrant union campaigner and an immigration advisor. She was part of the organising group.
When we hit lockdown last year in end of March, it very clearly became obvious that, okay, our borders will be closed for the foreseeable future, and this is the pool of migrant workers we have. We can't bring more in while we also have thousands stranded offshore who need to be coming back. So it was then obvious that that meaningful immigration policy change now needs to be a pathway to residence over and above anything else. So we then launched a campaign about a year ago with a petition alongside where we had actually asked for provide a pathway to residence to everybody who is already onshore. And we did put in, like, you know, okay, make sure they are of good character and of sound health and all of that. But other than that, you know, drop your sort of time-consuming checks you've got. These are people who are already here.
27-year-old Dave Deep Singh, who you heard in the beginning of the story, has been in New Zealand since 2016 after coming to Christchurch from India to study IT on a scholarship.
What was your reaction when the announcement came out last week?
I did not believe it, honestly. My friend took a screenshot and sent it through to me. I was like, oh, I don't believe it, man. But when I started reading about it, that's when I started believing it around 9 o'clock. No one was believing it. Everyone was like, nah, it's just a prank or something. It's just a joke or something. No one was believing it. But after a while, as the day went on, everyone was like, that day I got at least 80 phone calls. I'm going to be celebrating on the day I get that approval stamped onto my thing. First thing is thanking God. That's it. No celebrations. Thank God. Thank God first.
Dave's an essential worker who's been working ever since he finished his studies. But 6 years of waiting for his residency has just felt too long.
We support people with intellectual, physical disabilities, Huntington's disease, and even kids. Nowadays, I am at a service where we provide respite care for kids with intellectual disabilities.
Were you sort of almost about to leave the country?
Yep. I had already applied for Canada. I have given my IELTS. Everything was ready. I was legit in the process of submitting an application. It was going to be submitted by the end of this month. Almost gone, yeah.
And how do you feel about your friends who haven't been given the opportunity to apply for this visa? Because there's a lot of people who don't really qualify.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, really sad about it. Like, everyone is contributing in a major way to this economy, every single one of us. So, it should be given to everyone. really disappointed about the people on, like, PhD students and people who've done their bachelor's and everything who've been here for ages, but they are not eligible to apply.
So this is where thousands are feeling discriminated against by not being given a chance to apply for residency with this new visa. Even after being here for well over 3 years, spending over $20,000 a year on international student fees, working in essential fields, and or earning above $27 per hour. Most of these are criteria to apply for this visa.
What we've been given on 30th of September, you know, it does help around 165,000 people, and that is really, really good news, and we are thankful for that, that, you know, that there is a large proportion of migrants who are feeling relieved that, you know, now that they've got certainty in terms of their future. And we've seen so many stories where people have gone back to their home countries or going to other countries. So we can put a stop to that more or less now. Same time, there are people who have given 5, almost 10 years in some cases of their life to this country. And, you know, that they have nothing, that they're not eligible because they are not on the right type of visa right at this present moment in time. Whereas a few months ago or about a year ago, they were on the correct visa. So just to sort of unpack that a little bit. So these people mostly would have come in as students, studied for a year, 2 years, and then the usual pathway is that they get a work visa, you know, open work visa, and then the next thing usually has been that they get a work visa sponsored by an employer, and by that stage they should be skilled enough, experienced enough to get residence. But that's been the problem, that residence, the criteria has been changed so much where the, you know, the goalpost has been moving so that residence has always been out of reach for many, many people. So those people then thought, okay, I will upskill myself. So they went back to studying. But that's the biggest problem at the moment, that, you know, those people who've been here 5 to 10 years are students again, through no fault of their own. They're just trying to comply with the system, the immigration requirements. But as a result, now they find themselves not eligible.
And then there are those who are contributing with essential research knowledge to the country. Mauricio Kimura moved here with his family from Brazil to do a PhD in AI in law in 2017. Him and his wife don't qualify for this visa.
Well, if you think about PhDs specifically, we work because this is kind of thing that sometimes the government itself, they provide scholarship, or they call also grants, which allow students to come over to do research. So we work actually doing research. It doesn't look like working, but researching is also working. So we sometimes got employed by some universities employ PhDs. They give them employment contracts, but it's still, it's not a qualification for the Immigration New Zealand to provide, to give us visas. But there is nothing, there is no explanation why. If you see the visa, my wife's visa, you can see work visa. Well, that's why she got the job. Now, because it's a partnership, it doesn't allow them to apply. So that's nonsense. PhDs, especially PhDs, we got different visa, different from masters, different from bachelor's, because it allows us to work unlimited hours. There's no limit whatsoever. That's why I tell people, this is not a simple visa. This is not, because it's a kind of work and study visa, because once you are at universities, you're actually working full-time doing research. That's the funny thing that I think they don't know about it. So we have to remind them, hey, we work, we contribute to the science, we bring knowledge, we write articles, we write big pieces. So I'm expecting the government to give some instructions in the, maybe next week, to explain the criteria, the logic, the rationale behind that. Something that I'm very curious to see.
An essential worker from India who prefers to keep his name confidential has been caught in this endless rut of full-time and part-time work and studying. but residency still evades him.
I'm working in a community support role, and which is I work with especially abled and differently abled clients. So it's an essential healthcare role. And now I work part-time, but I have worked full-time for the last 4 years. I work part-time now because I'm doing my nursing studies to gain nursing registration in New Zealand, as I am a registered nurse back from India. I have studied here when I first came here in 2015. I studied a level 7 course in health. And then on the basis of that education, I worked for 4 years in the essential healthcare role. And I'm still working part-time. But now, and then I applied for residency in 2018. But like for nearly 22 months, it wasn't decided by Immigration New Zealand. So I decided to withdraw my application because it was like a kind of waste of my time because there was no indication from Immigration New Zealand that when it's going to be decided. And I started studying nursing studies to gain registration, occupational registration from New Zealand Nursing Council because the situation of the nursing workforce is not very great in New Zealand. And that was to upskill my knowledge and skills so that I have a better position when I apply for residency. But the government has completely ignored all the hard work and efforts and the skilling here from last 6 years. And I'm earning 27 per hour. And I'm working in the scarce list role, which is like in the healthcare sector or the other sector. So I'm meeting all the eligibility criteria. But the only thing I don't have is work visa. Me, there are thousands of people and appeal on behalf of all of them that government has to look into expanding the eligibility logically. And it's actually making us sad and upset. My appeal is to expand the eligibility at least a little bit, which is going to benefit the government and the people as well.
This has been announced as a one-off a residence visa. So a one-off needs to be all-encompassing. You know, my understanding is that this category of residence visa is not here to stay forever. So if the government or if Immigration New Zealand fears that this will open the floodgates, that that is not the case here. You know, A, they're not allowing people offshore to apply for it. It's only people who are already here in New Zealand. And secondly, like I said, this is a one-off. So, you know, making a one-off all-inclusive makes more sense. And you know, that would be the right thing to do. People have sacrificed a lot from money to emotional investment to their time and to being essential workers and frontline workers in lockdowns. So people have put a lot in. So, you know, migrant workers are part of the fabric of Aotearoa society. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's not as easy to dismiss them that, you know, just because you don't qualify for this new visa, we will say goodbye to you. I don't think it can be as simple as that. While this is a partial victory, you know, our work continues, the campaign continues to try and get inclusion for people who've been left out.
And that's Voices for You this week with me, Kadambri Raghukumar. Each week I produce a story on people from all across the world who call New Zealand home. Follow more stories from Voices on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And you can also find us on the RNZ website. That's rnz.co.nz. Today's episode of Voices was audio engineered by Flo Wilson.